Okay, everybody, we're back and we're going to talk about the AmShares Best Bond strategy, which is something I had invented a couple of years ago. And very successful in our management program. It makes use of the total program. Best actually refers to the fact that there are different alternative bonds. I've shown two here. The top one is the Capital and Income, which is a high yield, low quality bond fund, which is subject to great economic sensitivity. You can see its plot coming along from the left here. It peaked in early June. It rolled over and it dropped severely into the late 08 time period, rallied up just about to the early part of the year, and then it came down and retested that low in March, just like the market did, and is now rising up. That fund has involved in a T, which is identical to the one that we use in the stock market. It has the same turning points to peak in June of 07, double bottoms in late 08, early 09, and the projected peak for this rise for this for the price of this bond fund is into the August 2010 time period. And directly below that, we have what could be considered to be an inverse form of the fund. It's a very high quality, relatively lower yield. And this fund is Vanguard's long-term treasury bond fund. It's one of the only funds that has a 20-year history and very long-range treasury securities. It's usually the maturity is about 20 years. And that's generally used for handling pension liabilities, where you can guarantee what you're going to get over a 20-year time period and with high quality. You can see that the charts are absolutely inverse. When things were great back in the 07 time period, you see that the price of the bonds, the government bonds, is very low. And then as the disaster unfolded, there was capital appreciation in that bond fund. It was a little bit ragged because it came up for a while, then it went back down and came up with this first reasonable T, then it dropped down sharply, successfully retested the prior low, and then it blew up into a major peak in the time period of maximum downside stress, which was in late 08. It then started to fall away as the it became clear the Federal Reserve was going to turn really serious about pumping enough money into getting things straightened out. You can see that dropped down quite a ways, then it rallied back in the second reasonable T, and it's just gone by a top, and now it's this fund is presumably turning down and maybe headed back to the previous low, as we're seeing an economic recovery, and people generally will see rising interest rates at that time, and rising interest rates are negative for bond prices. So bond prices always go in the opposite direction, so that's tailing away. You can see that somebody like Bill Gross, who was the head bond manager at PIMCO, is talking about he's getting out of all his treasuries. And the reason they're getting out of the treasuries is that they have no need for a defensive posture here because the economy is turning around, and they have don't want to lose anything because when the bond prices go down, the fact that the yields are going to go up that's a benefit to somebody later on, but it's a loser for the manager. So you never want to own things that have prices go down. And so that's the way that's tracing out. And at some point in the future, by the time we get to the August 2000 peak, this other bond fund should be, the upper bond fund should have reached its maximum rate of return, and it will have no future gains available to it, at least not nominally. They still pay their yield and so forth, but that point it's sort of a good idea that it's run out of its own rope, and it may very well be that the VUSTX or the other treasury high quality treasury bonds will have found themselves down at a low enough price where their yield might come up to 5.5%, while the other while the top fund has gone down to 6%. So it's a question: which do you want, 6% in a high yield bond fund or 5% in a 5.5% in a U.S. long-term government bond fund? The answer is you always make money by switching over and going to the government bond fund, because you're going to start to unravel the bear market And as that unravels, you're going to find out people are going to want to go back to the government bond funds. They don't want to do that now because they don't see anything on the horizon. That brings up the question whether the next bear market is an important one or not. Now, the fact that you can look at these two in a certain way, where they want to run in inverse relationships, is the basis of the Barron's bond indicator. And back in February, when I proposed this as a scheme to make money, we did some bond ratios and so forth, and I do have a tutorial at the T-Theory Foundation site. And, but even back on the T-Theory observations, if you go back there, there are discussions of how you can, if you look at the relative performance, you can figure out whether the smart money is getting confident or not. As long as that high yield bond fund is going down, there's a lack of confidence, because if they had confidence, they would be after those high yields. However, when it turns around and then the conservative high yield funds start to fall away, you know that that big money is confident. Now, it turns out if you go out and ask the public whether they're confident, they're not. But the public is the public doesn't get it right anyway. So you actually, the bond people are all pretty smart. And they're always in there calculating odds, because they really want those high yields, and they're willing to get off their duff and make a decision, whereas most people are completely oblivious to this. So anyway, so I suggested this is the easiest strategy out for traders, but I really doubt that many all the traders that I talked to here said, well, you know, it's kind of slow, and they like these volatile markets that you get going on here. Well, if you ask them now, what's going on is that the volatility is, you know, it's hard to find volatility around here for traders, and they're not too happy. But if you look, if you bought this fund at the end of December, you would be at a peak, and I have a black line that goes up to from that peak up to the top. During that period of time, the total and dividends and distributions that are not portrayed on the chart here, plus the price appreciation from that peak between the two lows, is 70%, which is not a bad rate of return, and is probably more than what the traders are making. See, so it's a clever strategy. It just people can never figure it out. And when you get to the other side of the T, what you have to do is figure out whether it's clever going the other way. That's the hard one. See, because you at that point you're not in the business of T-theory does not project the extent of the bear market, only expects that having completed a bear market where you're going to go on the upside. So you have to do some finagling on that one, and that's going to be probably the pretty hard one to figure out. But as a first step, if you look at what's the strategy that makes money on the downside, the only one that is, what I would say is, you know, absolutely is falls out correctly, is that when you get to the peak in August of 2010, you short the S&P 500, because that's the basis of the forecast, or any other equity average. And, okay, because if that's the top, it'll go down, and if the equities go down, the short sale will turn it into a gain. If you buy the gold funds that we looked at in the first part, he said, you probably lose money, so that, you know, so that story's out of the way. If you go to look at the gold bullion, well, maybe the gold bullion doesn't go down much, but that's not making you any money. Okay, so if you look at if you can get the VUSTX or other that's a 20-year bond, which is very volatile. You can go back to about 10 years if you don't want to. If you can get that to force down into a very low price, and you would want to wait as long as possible to see that happen before you ever got interested in this. But if at the end of by the time you got into a late latter part of August, if this was down low enough, you just want to sell the faggots out, and you'd go right down here and look for that, because bad things happen in bear markets, and when bad things happen, people that didn't want to own treasuries want to own treasuries, because it's still the best place to go. It doesn't have any current. If you go over to some currency thing, you know, you got currency trends to interfere with what your thinking is, and that's not a good idea. So it's just a time that we're, as we wind up this year, we just kind of put this all into perspective, and from time to time, I have to, every 3 months, I try to go through all of these various things, various ideas that we have, which are proprietary or developed from T-theory, and take a look at them. And I just thought this was an interesting view, and there's a lot of food for thought in there, particularly in those reasonable T's down there. I have all that data. It can appear in the 1966 to present chart with the 13 market T's, and you can start to make something about whether the reasonable T is causing something to happen in the stock market. That's discussed in the archives. Worked very well for a long time, and then either I didn't figure out where the T's were, what the rules were in the particular data that I have, or I just haven't taken a long enough perspective to see it. They didn't. So, but these seem to be okay. So I'm not sure that shouldn't be spending more time on that and take another look at that when I get the program more developed, so it can take in interest rate data. Okay, so that's the end of this. Now we'll take a look at the advanced decline line and its relationship to the S&P 500. Bye-bye.